in Romans 3, verse 19, it says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that the world may become guilty before God, right? So the point there is that, is the, or the emphasis that we want to put there is that all the world may become guilty before God, right? So it is, and this is a really important point, and you know, the realization of it, you know, just has been hitting me really a lot lately. All, right? That it's not, you know, the comparison between people is really a futile thing, right? Because why in the world would you ever compare yourself to someone that needs Jesus just as much as you do, right? Like, they don't need Jesus more than you do, and you don't need Jesus more than they do. You all need Jesus the same. You all, without Jesus, we all have the same guilt. We all fall short in the exact same way, right? So it's not that one given person is a little closer to Jesus, you know, without him than you are. We all need Jesus, every single person. It's an awesome way to be able to look at unbelievers also, because you see the only problem that they really have is the only problem that you used to have, which is that you didn't have Jesus, right? So it just puts everything in a very nice perspective, right? That all the world may become guilty before God, therefore all need the righteousness that Jesus provides, right? In Romans, it's the same chapter, just a little bit above, actually, in verse 10, Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, right? Not even one. And I know you've heard this verse before, but just think about it for a second. There is no one, that's not a single person that doesn't need the righteousness that is of God. And we all need it in the exact same amount, which is completely, right? None of our righteousness, all of his righteousness. None of our works, all of his works. So that means that no one's works, no matter how you look at people's works, no matter how you have lifted somebody up on a pedestal, right? Doesn't matter the pedestal that you put them on or the pedestal that you tried to knock them off of. They all need the same righteousness that we need, right? All of the righteousness of Jesus and none of our own, right? He says, there's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. Verse 12 says, they have all turned aside. They have all together. They have all. And I love, you know what I'm saying? Like, when the Lord is teaching you something, you see those things very big. All, repeatedly, right? They have all. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. There's none that does good, no, not one. So for you to compare yourself and look at somebody else and say, oh, nobody's going through the thing that I'm going through, or nobody has this problem. Listen, without Jesus, we all have the same exact problem. We all, you know what I'm saying? Without Jesus, we all have the same exact problem. We need Jesus all identically the same. 1 Corinthians 1 is really good. 1 Corinthians 1:26. I just want, you know, as we read this real quick, just focus on the opposite, right? Not just the weakness, but what he wants to do with the weak of the world. Essentially, what he wants to do is he wants to confound the wise. He wants to confound the mighty. He wants the mighty of this world that believe themselves to be mighty. He wants the wise of this world who believe themselves wise to look at you and look at your life and say, my gosh, look at the wisdom coming from that person's mouth, right? Where did you go to school? Where were you educated? How do you talk like this? Why do things always go that way for you? Why does this? Why was that? Well, they can't explain. Why is it that things always seem to work out the way they do for you, right? He says, for you see your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise, right, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, to put to shame the wise, the people that the wise of this world, that the world would lift up on pedestals, right, because of the of their information and the wisdom that they can spew. God says that the way it's supposed to work, right, is that the wisdom that we have from Jesus would put to shame the wise of this world, right? Would put to shame the wise of this world. That God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things of this world that are mighty, the most powerful things of this world. Now, I'll read you an instance later on. I think it's in Numbers. You know, where we're talking even from a physical, bodily comparison, right? That you can see people that are three times your mass and your size and your muscularity and whatever, your dexterity and their stamina and whatever, three times your size, and that you could be of the spirit that we are of and look at somebody like that and say, you know what? You're bread to me. You're bread to me. Like that, even from a physical comparison, it's like for somebody to tell you in your face the way we should be telling ourselves and tell other people, there is nothing to fear. Yes, they may look like they're three times the size of you, but they're nothing. They're bread in your hand. This is for your taking, right? It's just an interesting thing to look at. 1 Corinthians 26 says, verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh may glory in his presence, right? So that we would know, has nothing to do with the way you were born, has nothing to do with genetics, has nothing to do with your physical strength, and it has nothing to do with your physical body, right? It has everything to do with the power of God, right? Only. That's the only way that no flesh can glory in his presence, is that if the power is all of God. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 30, he says, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me from any wisdom that I have more among the living. In other words, he's saying, what I'm sharing with you, he said to the king while he was interpreting the dream, he's saying, what I'm telling you, this wisdom does not come from anything that I have greater apart from anybody else that's here, but he's saying everything that I'm telling you is because of God. It's not because of me, right? Basically the same thing Paul said, right? It's not me, it's the grace of God in me that's doing all this, right? It's not coming from me as though there's something special about me different from you. It's just that I have Jesus and you don't, maybe, right? That's the point there. In Luke chapter 12, verse 26, right? He says, if you then be not able to do the least of these, or able to do that which is least, why do you take thought for the rest? You know, in other words, we need even in the simplest things, we need the wisdom of God, right? Even in things that have to do with basic things of just people's worries and people's concerns, right? That's coming face to face with your limitations. When you're worried and you're concerned, is because you're staring at your limitations, right? But when we as Christians, we worry, we're concerned, we're doing it from a place of I was going to say unnecessity, like I was just going to make up a word, but we're doing it from a place where we don't have to, right? We do have the power of God in us. We do have the wisdom of God on the inside of us, so we can know. So when you can know and you do have the power in you towards all things, worry, right, starts not making any sense, right? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he just says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do, he said, all things. We're going to wrap up right here real quick in Numbers. In verse 30 of Numbers 13, he says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. This is when they're coming back from having spied out the land, and their minds and their eyes, I mean, unfortunately, the majority of them, their minds were full of what they saw. And even though they saw a very prosperous land, even though they saw a very beautiful land, it happened to them the same way it happens to us many times, that you behold things that are beautiful in this world, you behold things that are of a large magnitude, and you look at them and you say, you know, I'm too small for this. I can't do that, right? I can't take that. I can't afford that. I can't buy that. I can't have that, right? Because you see it and it seems too grandiose for you, right? Well, when we are of the spirit that we are, right, which we are of the same spirit that Caleb was, and we are of the same spirit that Joshua is, right? Caleb, he stilled the people that were before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, because we are well able to overcome it. Well able. I mean, how do you say that about people that are three times your size, right? For most, I mean, these were giants, right? These were giants of people, right? So a multitude of them. So how do you say so confidently and so easily, let it roll off your tongue, to say we are well able? There's a reason for that, because then in Numbers 14:8, he says, if the Lord delight in us, right, if he's pleased with us, right, and that's only by faith, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. He'll bring us into this land and he'll what? He'll give it to us. You're not taking it, he'll give it to you. He's going to give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel you not against the Lord. In other words, don't be unbelieving. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not, right? That's a beautiful thing. It just gets all my hair standing up on my arms, right? That it's, he says, they are bread for us, right? They are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. And in other words, they have no strength compared to what we have. Then it comes to light a little bit, right? When he says that greater is he that is in you presently today than he that's in the world, right? Bread for you. In other words, these things that the Lord has, that you see today as an obstacle, that you see today as something that is above you, actually is beneath you, right? That which you see that is actually, that is above you, overcoming what a mountain, right, is actually beneath your feet.
If we were able to show you something about Jesus today, subscribe and share this with someone else so that we can get this awesome truth out to the world.